Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Franklin, a GB canoe slalom athlete.
Yeah, I'm Joe Clark. I am the Olympic champion from Rio 2016.
I'm Joe Fraser, Team GB gymnast.
Hey, my name's Emma Wilson. I'm a windsurfer. I'm really happy to be selected for Team GB for Paris 2024.
This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast, covering the games all the time rather than once every 4 years. I'm John.
And I'm Michael, and after our trip south for British sailing last time out, I've headed north for the World Indoor Athletics Championships. I'm in Glasgow.
A Scottish Super Saturday, an award-winning Brits night, and the Cordery and Kerr Show.
And I have spent this weekend meeting some of the new stars of British athletics and some of the older stars of British athletics too, en route to Paris 2024 and the Olympics. So coming up, you'll hear from them.
It's what I love to do. It's the reason I'm in this sport is these big moments. And when the pressure's on and the lights are on, I chuck my shades on and have a good time.
I wasn't sure it could be a gold. I did have a medal in my sights and I kind of thought, who knows what could happen next.
I knew I had to run my race the way that I could, and that's what I did. So. Just unfortunately it wasn't good enough for a medal, but I did everything I could out there.
The long jump debate that started on this podcast continues with the Olympic and world champion telling us he'll quit the sport if it happens.
And I've been speaking to the fastest man in the world indoors. Plus we'll have our news from the games. There's more sailing, more judo, more cycling, and we talk about the legacy of the London 2012 Olympic Games.
We'll also finish the pod with the reason why the World Indoor Athletics Championships are so big and so important. Because athletics is the toughest sport in the world. Worth sticking around for that interview. And stay with us as well and see what we're all about anytime, Anything With Footy on social media or through the website anythingwithfooty.com.
So we'll start here in Glasgow. I'm currently sat, so the hubbub around me is the media centre of these World Indoor Athletics Championships. So I'm currently sat actually in the Sir Chris Hoy Velodrome. And if you know anything about Glasgow, if you recall the Commonwealth Games maybe in 2014, this of course was the cycling venue. And it's the adjoining venue to the Emirates Arena, which is hosting these World Indoor Athletics Championships. Hosted badminton back at the Commonwealth Games in 2014. And I've got to say, I know we've got one more session of the athletics to go. It's been a joyous 3 days. It really has. I think the presentation that World Athletics have put on, the presentation that Glasgow as a city and as a host venue has put on, has been absolutely fantastic. We've seen some brilliant performances. I know there was so much discussion and chat about some of the people that weren't here, but let's talk about the people, the big stars that have come: Femke Bol, Christian Coleman, and Noah Lyles, along with some of the big British names, people like Josh Kerr and Laura Muir have been here. And we've just seen some really good performances. I thought last night, the Saturday night, there was so much going on. It was absolutely fantastic. And if we talk about sport as a brand or as a product, well, I think they've got it right at these indoor championships, because last night we saw two British gold medals, we saw a world record being broken. There was just so much going on inside the arena, you just could not take your eyes off it. So, you know, I don't think there's many negatives to take from this championships. In fact, I would say positives all around for everyone involved.
And it sounds like a great atmosphere. I think there's about 5,000 in the crowd-wise in the stadium, but it seems a lot louder than that. And to be fair, Michael, where you're sitting at the moment, it sounds like you're in the French Riviera with your French colleagues sitting next to you.
Yeah, well, we've got colleagues, of course, from all over the world, because you've got 130 nations and teams here. There were 26 world titles up for grabs, 650 athletes as well. And as I said, the presentation's been fantastic. And as you've picked up just watching it on the television and listening to it on the radio, the setup with the crowd, it's just really creates a great cauldron. And the one thing that all the athletes have said, win, lose, or draw, even as they've come through the interview zone to speak to the likes of me, is just how good it's sounded, how good it's felt, how good it's looked, and how much the Scottish public and the other, you know, athletics fans, and there are athletics fans from all over the world here, have just really enjoyed it.
Well, let's hear from some of those athletes we've been talking about, and we've got to start with Josh Kerr. I mean, how impressive was he in the 3,000 metres, which is a longer distance than he's normally at, the 1,500 metre outdoor world champion? Of course, he put his shades on and he absolutely blew away the opposition, including one of the big world champions, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a brilliant run from Josh Kerr. I actually thought he looked pretty much in control the whole way around. I mean, we first obviously sort of really came to know about Josh when he won that medal in Tokyo at the Olympics, but last year was a massive breakthrough year from him, following up obviously from Jake Whiteman winning the outdoor 1500 meters gold. And he made his mind up pretty late on to compete in these championships, because although obviously he is a Scot and he wanted to compete in these home championships, he is based out in America most of the time, and that seems to work for him because he's done it again. And you know, it was a pleasure to chat to a man with another world global title gold medal around his neck.
It's turning up at these championships and performing, and that's what I do. It's what I love to do. It's the reason I'm in this sport, is these big moments, and when the pressure's on and the lights are on, I chuck my shades on and have a good time. So, you know, I'm putting performances together I'm proud of, and just putting the training together and not forcing anything at this point in the season.
You seem very calm and controlled right now. Tell us about the emotion of the occasion, though, what it means to be an indoor and outdoor world champion.
Yeah, it's, it's the same as, you know, the saying, you know, you go your whole life, you know, waiting for a world championship win, and two come around pretty quick. So, you know, I'm just making myself available for these major championships, and not forcing the training and not forcing against the body. The body is capable of what it's capable of, and I knew if I put a performance on tonight, it was going to really test those other guys. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every step out there.
And when you guys talk about the process, where does the world indoors fit into the process of the bigger things happening later on in the year in Paris?
This is a huge moment in the calendar. It's, you know, a world championship. Anyone in the world can be here if they want to be. And I wanted to be from day one. I just knew that there's more harder things along the line. I needed to make sure that I was putting myself in a position that I wasn't forcing against the body in the training. And, you know, if you have a very rigid lifestyle and you know, you stay focused on the goal, the end goal, which is always to compete at the highest level, then, you know, you're going to come away with performances like that. That's who I am. It's always what I've wanted to do from a Euro Junior standpoint all the way up until today. So, yeah, loving these moments.
What was it like on the podium, hearing the anthem, getting the medal?
Oh, it's so special. You know, it's this crowd deserves to hear that anthem multiple times in this championships, and I'm glad I was able to do that for them. And, you know, Scottish and British distance running, middle distance running, and athletics overall is in a really good spot from an athlete point of view. You know, we're here to put performances on. This team, obviously, there's some controversy with the size of the team and all these things, but this team packs a punch and everyone's here to do a job. There's no fat here. Everyone's here to do a job, and it's a really nice atmosphere from an athlete point of view and from a whole team point of view, that we're focused on performance, and we're focused on medals.
It's track and field. We've seen a track medal and we've seen a field gold medal tonight for Molly as well. She said she fed off you. How pleased are you for her?
Look, you know, she's put performance after performance together this year, and coming in with a world lead and everything, the pressure that comes with that is very difficult to deal with. And she handled that like an absolute champ. I can't wait to go back and watch some of her performances. Obviously, I was warming up and things and wasn't able to see some of those big jumps. But, you know, that's what this team works off, is we work off these early medals and then we go after and get more. You know, we have some great chances tomorrow, and hopefully we just come away with as many medals as we can. That's our job, and I think we're in a really good spot.
So Josh Kerr talking to Michael. What's great about these championships, Michael, is not only British men winning medals, gold medals, British women winning gold medals, and not just track athletes winning medals, but field medals as well.
Yeah, and that's what I said to Josh there at the end of that interview that we've just heard. It's track and field. And from a field point of view and from a British Athletics, from a Great Britain and Northern Ireland team point of view, one of the breakthrough names this season has been Molly Cordery. We saw her, obviously, with a personal best at the British Championships in Birmingham. We were there for that. Then she bettered that when she was in her next competition. And I think she always thought, and we always thought, she was a medal contender here in the pole vault competition. But whether we really seriously believe that she could go and win the gold medal, I don't think we thought that perhaps she would hit those heights. But she did, and so on a brilliant night for British Athletics in track and field, another gold medal for Molly Cordery.
What does it feel to be the best in the world at something?
It's just unbelievable. It hasn't quite sunk in yet, and it was such a special moment. All of my family and friends there, it was a home crowd, the nation was watching. It's just a dream come true.
So many people have been talking about your season. You've been improving and improving and improving. Did you feel that it was leading to this moment tonight?
I wasn't sure it could be a gold. I did have a medal in my sights, and I kind of thought, who knows what could happen next. And the competition was a little bit messy, you know. We were really having to fight it out. But yeah, just to get a gold, that's my dream, and it's kind of turning into a reality.
Talk us through competition. There was drama all the way through. We obviously lost someone even before it started with injury, and a very serious injury during the competition.
Yeah, I actually really struggled with that. And I send my love to all of them, because there was three girls actually in the competition that pulled out because of injury, which is always really heartbreaking. And I feel other people's emotions quite strongly. So when Margot landed in the box after that I actually ended up crying to my coach, and he was like, just let it all out, take a second and reset. But yeah, I just want to send my condolences to all of them.
What's been the Molly Cordery difference this year? What's been the huge breakthrough? What are you doing?
That is the question of everyone's asking me that. I've just been healthy. I've suffered through so many injuries, and I've just been able to consistently build through winter, day after day, just ticking it over and building confidence. I've improved physically and mentally, and I think the combination of all of that has led me to be where I am.
And we saw people like Katarina Johnson-Thompson and Laura Muir win medals indoors and then take that form to the outdoor season. That must be in your thoughts now.
Absolutely. I just want to kind of keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not overtraining. I'm just taking it day by day, doing a little bit, just putting kind of brick by brick, just letting myself tick over and stay healthy. I think that's the most important thing for me.
And we saw Holly win an Olympic medal 3 years ago in Tokyo. How much is Paris in your sights now and getting on that podium?
It's absolutely coming into my sights, and I've had to adapt to that, because previously to this year, my sights were always LA 28. This has all just been kind of experience for me. But yeah, things have really snowballed since last season in Budapest, where I came fifth. And like I said, I've just built so much confidence and taking that into Paris. I would love to be able to get a medal.
It's another Super Saturday because, of course, Josh Kerr as well. Did you feed off that at all?
Absolutely. The home crowd were absolutely incredible. And the noise that I heard from Josh, I thought, yeah, I want a little bit of that. So then I really tried to get the crowd behind me, and they were great, really carried me through the competition.
What do you do now? How do you celebrate?
I'm just going to go and spend it with some family and friends, just really let it sink in. I still can't quite believe what's just happened.
Well, I won't hold you back anymore. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Molly Cordery admitting she was going to celebrate with her family and friends. And she is a young British athlete, 23 years of age, from Truro in Cornwall, not your normal place where you would expect athletes coming through from this part of the world before. But it's great that you can do it. If you've got the talent, there's a system that you can get through. And what an amazing coach Josh Simpson is doing as well, because he coached Molly Cordery, who was the gold medalist, and of course Lizzie McDermott, I think it was, wasn't it, who came second for New Zealand?
Yeah, for the first and second in the event. So yeah, terrific coaching. And I think we probably sometimes don't give enough credit to the coaches. And, you know, there are some legendary coaches in and around the British athletics scene. We think about people like Aston Moore. There was a presentation that Lord Coe made to legendary coach Frank Dick, who was Daley Thompson's coach here before the programme started yesterday. That was a really nice moment. So yeah, I think we should maybe start giving a bit more credit to the team around the team, if you like, and the coaches, because it's the thing the athletes are always telling us. Oh, me and my coach did this, me and my coach did this. But, you know, we talk about the stars on the track and in the field. But, yeah, let's talk about the people behind the scenes once in a while. It's just been a great championships, as I said, from a British point of view. And we do go into that final session with more medal hopes. There could potentially be a medal for Gemma Reekie. That would raise the roof in Scotland again. There could be a relay medal after the women's 4x400 metres team got into the final as well with the quickest time. But let's hear now from some of the other finalists. We'll hear in a moment from Morgan Lake. She finished sixth in the high jump. We'll hear from Laura Muir, who was never really in medal contention after finishing fifth in the women's 3,000 metres. But first of all, let's hear from the Great Britain and Northern Ireland captain. Lavia Nielsen finished fourth in a very quick 400 metres, a very quick because Femke Bolt broke the world record in that race. She finished fourth in that major global final. She was obviously disappointed not to get a medal, but for her, it was a personal best.
Wow, what a race. From your viewpoint, how do you feel after being part of that?
I'm so proud of myself. I knew she was going to do something special. She looked so easy in her semi-final. Of course, I was behind her in my semi-final, but she looked really good, so I knew it was going to be a fast race. And so I think I actually stuck to my race plan today. I was really disappointed with my semi-final. Even though it didn't look that bad to me, it felt like a bad race. So I learnt my lessons very quickly, and I came out here and I just gave it so much in that first lap and tried so hard to stay as close to them as I could.
It was quick, and you were quick tonight, weren't you?
Yeah, 50.8. I mean, I've run so many 50.8s now, back to back. The consistency is really great, and I'm glad that I was quite nervous when I woke up this morning, but as I went through my warm-up, I started to feel really calm and quite confident. I'm so proud with how I handled myself, because I'll need to do that in the summer.
Captain's performance?
Oh, I would have loved to come away with the medal, but when I looked at those times, 50.2 to get bronze, I honestly would say I didn't think I had that in me today, so I did the best I could.
How have you enjoyed being captain of this team? And a gold medal tonight, of course, for Josh, part of your team.
I was in the call room when he won gold, and I looked into the stadium and I saw the crowd give him a standing ovation, and it gave me goosebumps, and I was so excited to get out there myself. So Josh did it for the team. I'll probably hand over my captaincy to him at some point, but no, so proud of this team. We're a mixed bunch of experienced and talented new faces, so yeah, proud to be a part of it.
Laura, fifth in the world tonight. How do you reflect on that in what looked like a tough race?
It was a fast race. I just knew I had to kind of run my own race and run to the best I could, and I think I did that out there today. You know, it was just, I knew I had to run my race the way that I could, and that's what I did. So just unfortunately it wasn't good enough for a medal, but I did everything I could out there.
Had to be here though, home championships, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this time last year I wasn't going to be racing here, but I thought, no, I'm going to race here. So we made it fit, we made it work, but I just have to keep my main focus on the Olympics this year. But that's why we did a 3,000 here today, because it fits in really well with the training that I'm doing, with the endurance block that I'm doing. It's a tough event,
What can you add to the fact that this is just part of the bigger picture at the moment, because everyone will have the focus, the eyes on Paris, obviously?
Yeah, it's really difficult. A lot of people miss the championships because of the Olympics. So, so even though I'm racing here, you know, you do have something in the back of your mind focusing on the Olympics. So it is tricky, but, you know, I just wanted to come here fit, healthy and competitive, and that's what I am. You know, I'm leaving the track in one piece as well, which is good, because, you know, you just never know with racing, things can happen. So, yeah, I'm a really good spot ahead of the summer, in a great place. And, one of the fittest, if not the fittest I've ever been this time of year as well, which is great. And it's just crazy, the standard right now, that, you know, I'm in a really good spot, and it's not good enough to get on those medals. But, it's going to push me on for the summer.
It's not been the indoor season I hoped it was. I think it's probably something me and my team need to reflect back on. I think the big aim for this indoors was to medal at these championships. So, kind of put all my eggs in one basket, and the comps going into it were almost just like, right, let's just find my feet and get going. I wouldn't say there was pressure on this competition, but there was a lot of expectation for myself. So now, I'm kind of reflecting on the indoor seasons almost as a failure, which is disappointing. I haven't really felt like I've got a lot out of it in terms of my heights and my placings, but I have got a lot of learnings out of it, which is good.
So Lavia, Laura and Lake, it's like a solicitor's firm, Michael, or a 70s prog rock band, but superb performances from all of them. And again, some justification for having a smaller team, whole debate that we had previously.
And we heard, didn't we, from Josh Kerr in that interview. He said he acknowledged there had been some debate, and significant debate, obviously, around the exclusion of Guy Learmonth that we covered on the previous podcast. But, you know, Jack Buchner is here. He's the chief executive of British Athletics. He will look at the two gold medals. I think when we last had a home championships in Birmingham indoors, I think there was a couple of gold medals in that one. I think there were 7 medals in total at that championship. So I don't think, obviously, we're going to hit 7 medals in total here. But I do think, again, that new philosophy, if you like, of taking smaller, more focused teams is continuing to pay dividends. And away from Great Britain, of course, and Northern Ireland, there's been some brilliant global performances, and it's been great to see some of the big global names here. And you know what we're going to be really talking about in the build-up to Paris and the Olympic Games, and you and I are looking forward, particularly in light of the news this week that TalkSport are going to have full broadcast rights for those Olympic Games, and we'll be part of the TalkSport team in Paris. But the one event that we know captures the public imagination, the Blue Ribbon event, perhaps not just of the track and field programme, but of the entire Olympic Games, will be the men's 100 metres final. And we've got this narrative, this story now building between Noah Lyles and Christian Coleman. The two of them, I think, will go head to head in that men's 100 metres final. That is probably the final that we want to see in Paris. But we saw it here in the 60 metre sprint. And we know that Noah Lyles was really preparing for this because he had this ambition to be an outdoor 100 metre, 200 metre champion, then to try and win this title and then back that up with the Olympic title, which no one had ever done before. But Christian Coleman, a sprinter who we know has served a ban after some missed doping tests in the past, has come back into the sport, missed the last Olympic Games, of course, but has very much got his eyes on Paris. Came through the collegiate system, the university system in America as a 60 metre specialist, and, well, he showed it here because he is the fastest man in the world indoors. And I spoke to him afterwards and found him actually to be quite a quiet, humble, shy person, not really what you imagine from an American 100 metre sprinter that tend to be pretty bombastic. Congratulations to you. What does that title mean?
It means everything. I mean, you never take these opportunities for granted. To get out there and compete against the best guys in the world and to walk away with another, you know, world title, it means a lot. It's an amazing feeling.
Did you wake up this morning and think, by tonight, I'm going to be a world champion again?
Yep. I woke up this morning, just getting texts from my family, my mom. I told my mom, like, today is just going to be a life-changing moment for me. Not just about winning the championship, but just about, like, I feel like this whole season is going to be special for me. And this is going to be the first step in just, like, carrying that momentum and just getting to a different space, like, mentally, like, and just really just building on momentum and continuing to get better and better and better. So it's exciting. I woke up this morning just with a positive spirit, like positive attitude, man. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I knew it was going to be something great.
And you mentioned, obviously, it's going to be a special year. It's Olympic year. Are you ready for the fact that, as storytellers, we're going to be talking about you and Noah Lyles now between now and Paris? Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, anytime you're able to be, you know, in the headlines, people talking about you, you don't take that for granted. I mean, he's a great competitor and a worthy opponent. And, I mean, I think that's what makes it exciting because our talents are vastly different, but we're both very, you know, talented in our own right. And I think the fans kind of see that the fact that, like, you know, we're both very talented and just professional at, like, what we do for a living. And they never know what to expect when we get out there because, you know, we're both great competitors. So I look forward to it just like everybody else does.
And a quick word about being here in the UK and in Glasgow. What do you think about this venue, this crowd, and this event?
Man, the venue has been amazing. The track was fast. The fans, like, were very loud and rambunctious, and I feel like it was an intimate type of atmosphere. I feel like the fans were right on top of you. It was my first time in Scotland, and so, I mean, I didn't really know exactly what to expect. I've been to the UK a few times, but not exactly here. And so just walking around the city a little bit, like, I got some good energy, like, good vibes. It seems like everybody here is really nice and just pretty laid back. And so I look forward to maybe coming here again someday.
And are we going to be chatting again in Paris with you, an Olympic champion?
I mean, if you'll be there, I'll be there.
I'm going to be there, definitely. And I want you to be there as well. You coming?
I will be there, most definitely. Yes, sir.
So Christian Coleman talking to Michael at the World Indoor Athletics Championships in Glasgow. This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast. We're en route to Paris 2024, but we'll have more reaction to Glasgow. And the World and Olympic long jump champion talks to us about that long jump zone.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Anything But Footy. We are counting down to the Olympic Games. We are en route to Paris.
And Michael is live in Glasgow at the moment as we, of course, talk about the World Indoor Athletics Championships. Some amazing performances. You mentioned Femke Bol with a world record. I thought Carsten Warholm and Alexander Doom in the men's 400 metres at the Belgium versus the Norwegian was a great match as well on Saturday night. And, of course, we saw St Lucia win their first ever gold medal. First ever medal, I think, in the World Indoor Athletics with Julian winning the women's 60 metres. So some impressive stuff and performances from around the world, which, as we'll hear at the end of the podcast, makes athletics the hardest sport in the world, in our opinion. But it's also a controversial sport. An Olympic long jump champion says he'll quit the sport if the takeoff board is replaced by a new zone, and he described it to Michael as a brain-dead event. Yes, Miletanios Tentoglu, as I say, was speaking to Michael after retaining his World Indoor Championships title. But as you'll hear, he wasn't particularly happy about it.
Well, congratulations. Can you talk us through how you're feeling after today's competition?
I don't feel anything. It was a really bad competition today. Morning final was really, really hard, really, really bad. And, you know, I was trying my best, but it was very bad results. And, yeah.
You don't take any joy from winning the title?
Absolutely not.
There's been obviously a lot of talk about long jump and maybe changes to the long jump. What's your view on changing from a takeoff board to a takeoff zone?
Yeah, long jump right now is a very difficult event because you need to have accuracy and to be able to run like a sprinter and hit the board perfectly. This is the hard part about long jump. The jump itself, it's very easy. So they want to remove the difficult part, what makes long jump, they want to remove this and just leave the jump. After that, long jump will be the easiest event of all time. And if that happens, I will stop doing long jump. Yeah.
What was your reaction then when you first read or heard the story that they were looking at changing your event?
I mean, it's funny, you know, it's funny. It's so bad, it's funny. I cannot say anything else. Thank God that triple jump exists, because that's what I'm doing after these changes happen.
And what about the other long jumpers? What have you guys been saying to each other about the proposed changes?
I think nobody likes it, the long jumpers. Maybe some guys that do a lot of fouls, they like it, but for me, it's it removes all the skill from long jump. Now it's just no longer skill, it's just a brain dead event. And I don't want to do this.
Tentoglu talking to you, Michael. He was not happy. Not happy with World Athletics, not happy with the World Indoor Championships, not happy with life.
No, he wasn't happy with anything, was he? To be fair to the guy, obviously he wasn't particularly happy with his performance. He won by, I think, well, it was a similar jump, same jump between the gold and the silver medalist. So he won on count back just a centimetre ahead of the bronze medalist. So not happy with the performance, but yeah, not happy with the bigger and wider debate about long jump. What I would say is, you know, when we originally recorded that interview with John Ridgeon, the chief executive at World Athletics, I don't think that this long jump zone, if indeed it even happens, is something that's going to happen quickly. I think he was very forward in mentioning how the process was going to go about, and that is that there will be trials, and there will be trials at age group events, there will be trials at smaller competitions. They'll then look at that data. They are very much a data-driven organisation. They have become that under Seb Coe and under John Ridgeon, and they will obviously take more soundings from some of the leading athletes. I think the frustration for Tentoglu is that I think the podcast was the first that he and many had heard about it. And he was saying, you know, I'm the world, I'm the Olympic champion. Why didn't you maybe come and speak to me about this, see what I thought about it? He felt a little bit disrespected by it. And it was interesting because he did about 25 different interviews as part of that process after winning his medal. My interview was one of them. And I know it's been filmed and it's been put on social media and it's been retweeted by Carl Lewis, and I think there's about 300,000 views of it at the moment. So it's obviously something that track and field fans are interested in hearing about. And when he finished all his interviews, he came back into the interview zone and he basically shouted to everyone. He went, look, I've spoken to you all. I've stopped. I've done every interview. I've adhered to every request. Now go out and tell World Athletics what I've said and tell my story, my side of the story. So he's got that across and, you know, it's been very much the discussion here. But as I said, I think World Athletics aren't close to implementing this takeoff zone. I think that if it happens, it is still quite a long way away.
Has it whetted the appetite, Michael, these World Indoor Athletics Championships? You mentioned the coverage for TalkSport that will be happening in the summer, but Paris, it does feel very close now.
Yeah, it does. It has whetted the appetite. I think I've said this to you before, but when you come to these major events, I like to, if you like, feel it in all my senses. And that might sound a bit of a weird thing to say, but I love to obviously watch the sport. I love to listen to the atmosphere, listen to what the athletes are saying. But I love the smell around the major event. I mean, often it's the smell of fried food and sweat and Ralgex. But I do just, you walk into these major events, they have a sound, they have a smell, they really are a real sensation builder, I find. So yeah, I've definitely picked that up being here. I picked it up at the British Championships as well. We're less than 5 months away, and you know, if I'm trackside in Paris for TalkSport speaking to all the athletes from around the world after their Olympic finals, I'll be a very happy man.
I'm sure you will be. We've got plenty of other news from the Games, though, to be talking about. Just quickly before we come on to those, also this week, the IOC are in Paris for their last visit. We heard in our last podcast that Team GB had been there literally before they closed the athletes' village to make it ready. So the IOC are in town, so we'll hear from them this coming week as well. And we also know the date for the footy draw as well. Now, we don't really talk about footy, but it does look like the likes of Mbappe and even Messi could be in this competition. So that is, I think, is March the 20th. So we'll let you know what the draw will be for the footy. Of course, no Team GB in that, as we know.
In other news from the Games, we heard from British Sailing's latest member of Team GB in our last episode. That was Hannah Snellgrove. Really good interview you did with Hannah Snellgrove. Really enjoyed listening to that. And there are going to be at least two more to come to Team GB and the British Sailing team, because this weekend a quota place for Paris 2024 was secured in the 470 class with the British boats of Vita Heathcote and Twiggy Grube and Martin Wrigley and Bettine Harris. They are en route to Paris, qualifying for the medal races at the World Championships in Mallorca. The only issue now is only one of them can actually represent Team GB at the sailing competition, which takes place in Marseille. So a decision could be made this week, according to Mark Robinson. He's the leader of the British sailing team.
It's a second judo Grand Slam medal of the year so far for Chelsea Giles. The Tokyo Olympic medalist took another bronze, this time in the Tashkent Slam.
The London Legacy Development Corporation, they run Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, the Olympic Park from the London 2012 Olympic and Paralympic Games, of course, have appointed a new operating contract for the Copper Box Arena. Charitable social enterprise GLL will run it for the next 10 years, with the aim being to continue building on the venue's legacy. There'll be a further focus on eSports, with a series of events planned for 2024 being revealed soon. We did a special podcast for the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park all about eSports. It proved very popular. You can go and find that by searching where you normally listen to your podcast from. And talking of podcasts that we've made, we also have made podcasts with London Pulse, who of course continue to rock the box too. More than 3,500 people attended their latest Netball Super League match against Loughborough Lighting. That is a record. And that crowd, well, they really were rewarded, weren't they, with an exhilarating narrow win for London Pulse as well.
A strong season continues for the British para table tennis team ahead of the Paralympics in 6 months' time. World number one Will Bailey made a winning start to 24 by taking gold in the men's Class 7 singles at the Astana Para Open in Kazakhstan. Earlier in the week, he was crowned the ITTF, that's the Federation, Male Para Player of the Year for 2023. So a very good week for Will Bailey, friend of the pod. And Megan Shackleton continues her success as well. She won a third consecutive title this season by taking gold in the women's Class 4 in Kazakhstan.
And after more than 10 years as a para tandem pilot in 2022 and joining the British cycling coaching team, Helen Scott has now been confirmed as the men's sprint podium potential coach for the Great Britain cycling team, replacing Justin Grace in that role.
Yeah, well done to her, and more success for British diving as well at the latest World Aquatics World Cup in Montreal. Tom Daly, Anthony Harding, Andrea Spendolini-Siriex and Yasmin Harper won the mixed team silver, and silver's two for Anthony Harding and Jack Law in the 3 metre synchro, and Lewis Tolson and Andrea Spendolini-Siriex also doing the business once again in the 10 metre synchro.
Don't forget, you can always follow everything that's happening in the world of Olympic and Paralympic sport by following Anything But Footy across all the social media platforms. You can also read all our latest blogs and see our 2024 sporting calendar on our website, anythingbutfooty.com. Do stay with us as we count down to Paris 2024 and the Olympic and Paralympic Games. But in a break with tradition, we're going to leave the final word in this podcast to somebody else. And we're going to return to these World Indoor Athletics Championships because, as I said right at the start, I think it's been a terrific championships, and I think this interview that you're about to hear is what it's been all about.
My name is Thea Lafour-Gatson from Team Dominica, and I am your World Indoor 2024 triple jump champion.
So tell us, how big is your team? How big is the country that you came from, and how much of an achievement is this?
My team includes officially two people. I am the only athlete, and my husband is the team coach and team official. So I am an athletic team of one, but a full team of two. My country is around 70 to 73,000 people right now, but we might be, you know, small, you know, country, but mighty people. So no big deal.
And tell us about your joyous reaction to winning.
Oh, God. I'm going to say that I probably jumped too high. I was not expecting to get that much airtime. But it was a combination of just feeling of making everyone proud. Like, this was not just for me. It was for my people. It was for my husband and coach, who's been working his butt off to see me be successful, he really is truly always wanted the best for me. This is for my training partners that have continuously supported me and cheered me on. This is for my family, who went through a major loss this year. And I think it really put things into perspective this year. And so this is my love letter to my Dominicans, to my support, to my village. And I'm so grateful. I really am.
And this is what the sport is all about. Track and field is truly global, and you've shown that today.
Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure and a privilege.
Sports Social Podcast Network.